content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Cadster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's program with an article from Cadster.com titled, Let's Meet Seven of the Friendliest Cat Breeds, by Erica Sirocco. Personalities vary per kitty, but some cat breeds are known for being more outgoing than others. Let's meet some of the friendliest cat breeds out there. Sassy, playful, loyal, aloof. Feline personalities come in all shapes and sizes, but today we're focusing on the friendliest cat breeds. Those kitties who clamor for the chance to turn a frown upside down and go the extra mile to comfort their humans with constant cuddles. So, who are these perfect picks? You're about to meet seven of the friendliest cat breeds right here. Number 1. Sphinx. In a 2012 study conducted by the Journal of Veterinary Behavior, 129 cats from 14 breed categories were ranked based on geniality, and the Sphinx came in as the number one friendliest cat breed. Not really a surprise when you take into consideration the fact that the Sphinx lives to please his humans. If he's not acting wild and crazy to keep his owners entertained, you can find him helping with household chores, and even snuggling up to strangers who stop by for a visit. Number 2. Ragdoll. With a name like Ragdoll, it's no wonder that this feline comes in toward the top for friendliest cat breeds. Known for keeping her kittenesque nature well into old age, the Ragdoll thrives on attention and affection, allowing her body to go completely limp in the arms of a loved one. While many cats have a curious side, the Ragdoll is a bit more chill, preferring to follow her pet parents around the house, ready for a quick kiss or cuddle at any moment. 3. Burmese. If the Burmese had a slogan, it would be Living for Loving. This feline makes our list of friendliest cat breeds since he will charm the socks off of you with his friendly nature and gladly accepts hugs, kisses, and cuddles from humans and other animals alike. He'll happily spend hours languishing in your lap, talking about his day and purring like a motor. He's also known for grooming, not just himself, but you and his feline and canine companions. Hey, we told you he was friendly. Numbers 4 and 5. Abyssinian and Somali. Fun fact, the Somali is simply a long-haired, fluffier version of the Abyssinian, aka Abby, so we're calling it a tie for these two in terms of friendliest cat breeds. High in energy and crazy curious, the Abby and Somali aren't typically found lollygagging in your lap. Why? They prefer entertaining you with their agility and intelligence. But what really lands these two types of felines on our list of friendliest cat breeds? Acceptance and adoration of all. There's no stranger danger here. Both of these breeds will mix and mingle with anyone they meet. 6. Siamese. The Siamese is a regular gossip girl, making her the life of the party and a furry friend to all. She's one loud lady and has no qualms about voicing her opinions or complaints for the world to hear. The Siamese is also sassy, sociable, and affectionate, traits that help her win admirers wherever she goes. She's so affectionate and easy to get along with, in fact, that some compare her personality to that of a canine. And finally, number 7, Maine Coon. Dubbed America's gentle giant, the Maine Coon is the largest domestic cat breed, and his heart is every bit as big as his size. The breed loves everyone he meets, from children to other animals, and adores long, quiet cuddle sessions or rambunctious bit of playtime. A few other personality traits that make him a no-brainer on our list of friendliest cat breeds. He'll give frequent headbutts and play shadow with his favorite humans to let them know how special they are. A friendly reminder on the friendliest cat breeds. While the felines above make our friendliest breeds round up, every kitty has his or her own personality. Therefore, you may come across an aloof Abby or a standoffish Sphinx. It doesn't mean that they're any less special. It simply indicates that they like to pussyfoot to the beat of their own drum. And really now, who can resist individuality like that? To be more positive about the personality of your future feline, you may consider adopting an older cat whose demeanor is already developed. If you'd like to mold your cat's character, a kitten may be in the cards. The choice is yours. Next, we'll move on to an article about cat behavior. Why do cats need? Explaining cat needing, a quirky cat behavior. This is by the folks at Catster Headquarters. Why do cats need? If you're stumped by cat needing, check out this explanation for one of the most baffling feline behaviors and what to do about it. Why do cats need? Cats are interesting creatures with many traits and behaviors that are easily recognized as being uniquely feline. the way they curl up tightly to take a nap, for example, or their characteristic grooming rituals after enjoying a meal. Cat kneading is another common feline behavior. The kneading is a motion cats make by pushing in and out with their paws, alternating between right and left. Some cats knead with claws completely retracted, while others will extend their claws as they push in and retract as they pull back. So why do cats knead? Let's take a look. First, let's look at how cats knead. Before we answer why do cats knead, let's look at how they knead. Kneading is sometimes colloquially referred to as making biscuits, because the motion resembles a baker kneading dough. It is almost always done on a soft, pliable surface like a pillow or comforter, another cat or kitten, or even your lap. Often cat kneading is accompanied by contented purring, and sometimes even by drooling as the cat relaxes his jaw. It's not uncommon for a cat to be in an almost trance-like state as he kneads with a steady rhythmic motion. So, why do cats knead? There are a few ways to answer the question, why do cats knead? Explanations for why cats knead vary, but it is without a doubt an instinctive trait. Newborn kittens knead their mother's belly as they snuggle close to nurse, and the motion is thought to stimulate the flow of milk through her nipples. One rather outdated theory proclaims that cats that kneed were separated from or weaned from their mother too early, and therefore continue the kittenish behavior into adulthood. Yet nearly all adult cats kneed, regardless of how or when they weaned. It's more likely that the instinctive behavior is simply comforting to cats, although some cats do suckle the corner of a pillow or blanket while they are kneading. Kneading may also go back to the days when wild cats patted down tall grass or shredded leaves to make a soft, fluffy bed for sleeping or giving birth. Through the ages, the behavior continues to be a natural part of cat instinct before settling down for a comfortable cat nap. There's also a more practical aspect to answering the question, why do cats knead? Cats have scent glands in the soft pads on the bottoms of their paws. When they knead, some of their unique scent is released onto the surface being kneaded, and that scent serves as a kind of territorial marker for any unfamiliar cats that might come along and try to stake a claim. So when your cat is kneading your lap, he's not only telling you he feels comfortable and secure, but he's claiming you as his own. Scratching is also a natural part of cat instinct that results in the cat leaving his own residual scent behind, as well as a visual marker, claw marks, that other cats can recognize. What to do about cat kneading? If your cat kneads you frequently, it's a good incentive to keep those cat claws trimmed in order to avoid being scratched or having your clothing snagged. You could also keep a folded towel next to your favorite chair and use it to protect your lap as your cat kneads you with his paws. If the kneading motion is uncomfortable enough to really bother you, you can try gently pulling your cat down into a lying position so he settles down and goes to sleep. Other tricks involve gently holding his front paws together, petting him, or distracting him with a toy or treat. Pet behavior experts agree that it's not appropriate to punish a cat for natural and instinctive behaviors like kneading. Some female cats will knead frequently just before going into heat, as a signal to males of her willingness and ability to mate. As the estrus cycle continues, the cat will make plaintive meows that quickly escalate into loud, persistent yowls that are an effort to get the attention of a male. She may also pace restlessly, mark areas of your house with urine, become extremely affectionate, and assume the mating position, head low with raised hindquarters when you pet her. It's impossible to discourage these natural behaviors, and the best way to eliminate the symptoms associated with the female estrus cycle is to have your cat spayed. Next, we'll move on to another article from Catster.com titled, Can Cats Eat Cheese? Get the Facts About Cats and Cheese, by Sassafras Lowry. Can cats eat cheese? And if cats can eat cheese, are there certain types of cheese to avoid, and how much cheese can cats have? Don't be fooled by the famous pop culture images of cats lapping up milk. It turns out that cow's milk isn't actually all that good for cats. In fact, cats are more or less lactose intolerant because of their digestive systems aren't able to produce enough enzymes to properly digest cow's milk. But does that lactose sensitivity extend to cheese? Can cats eat cheese? The basics. Jenna Mahan, director of claims for Embrace Pet Insurance, says that, in small amounts, cheese made from Plains cow's milk is safe for cats. Cheese isn't a healthy part of a cat's diet, but it's also not a dangerous treat. So why isn't cheese healthy for cats? Think back to the aforementioned lactose sensitivity. Most cheese has cow's milk, and cow's milk is hard for kitties to digest. Cats become lactose intolerant after weaning, so any rich dairy, such as cheese, should be offered only sparingly, cautions Emmy Award-winning veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber. Can cats eat cheese that's not made from cow's milk? Goat's milk is a bit easier for cats to digest, so goat cheese is a slightly better snack option for your cat. Can cats eat cheese as a treat? So, can cats eat cheese, even in small amounts, maybe as a treat? Small amounts of cheese are safe for cats and might be useful if you need your cat to do something like she doesn't like to do, like take medicine. Always consult with your veterinarian before feeding your cat cheese in this manner. But with most cats, you can hide a small pill and a small amount of cheese. What cheeses should cats not eat? So the answer to can cats eat cheese seems to be that it's safe to share a little bit of cheese with your cat on occasion. But are there types of cheeses you shouldn't share with your cat? Jenna says that cat parents should avoid feeding their cats blue cheese. The good thing is that blue cheese is a type of cheese that isn't likely to attract most cats. In addition, Dr. Werber says that sticking with the simplest cheeses are best. The richer the cheese, the more you should avoid sharing it with your cat, he advises. Quantity is also a big concern when it comes to giving cheese to your cats. If you give your cat cheese, only give your cat a very small amount. What are the side effects of cats eating cheese? Since cheese contains lactose, it may affect some cats with noxious side effects, mainly gas and diarrhea, explains Jenna. Because cats are lactose intolerant, some cats will experience dietary upset with cheese. My youngest cat loves the occasional cheese snack and thankfully has never had any dietary upsets from cheese. If your cat shows any sign of sickness after eating just a bit of cheese, try another snack instead. Next, we'll move on to the August and September 2018 issue of Dogster magazine. And we'll start with an article in the Be Fur Active section by Nancy Hassel. And it's titled, Welcome to the Asher House. If you could quit your job, buy an RV, take your dogs, and travel the continental 48 states visiting animal shelters to help get dogs adopted, would you? Meet our latest Be Fur Active inspiration, Lee Asher. Lee Asher of the Asher House is traveling the country in a pimped-out, sexy RV, in his words, with his six rescued dogs, all purebreds, and his best friend and photographer Luke Barton. Together, they're visiting animal shelters in 48 states to help get dogs adopted, raise awareness of the amount of dogs and other pets in need of homes, and take the stigma away from shelter dogs. We want people to realize how adopting a pet is cool and they can find any breed or mixed breed of dog available for adoption. Lee wants to cut the euthanasia rate in this country in half, a goal, he says, he is very determined to do and hopes that their tour across the country opens more people's minds to go and adopt. At press time of this article, they have covered 20-plus states and have already met their initial goal of getting 48 dogs adopted, one in each state, with 71 dogs adopted as of early May 2018. You may have already seen one of Lee's many videos shared on social media or his Instagram account at the Asher House. Lee is handsome and fit and stands 6 feet 5 inches tall. But Lee is often seen on video talking in a high-pitched voice or giving hilarious, colorful commentary, a lot of which we can't print, to his dogs. His infectious love for his dogs combined with his wit are winning over fans everywhere. I asked Lee how he came up with the cross-country idea. I don't think it would have happened if I wasn't getting so much support from people over the world, he says. I always love influencing people to be more positive, laugh more, do more, and so forth. When I saw how many my lifestyle with my dogs was positively affecting people, I knew I had to do something more. Lee didn't have the idea until he quit his job running a finance company and managing 37 people. One of the inspirations behind this journey is people would meet my dogs regularly and could not believe how well-behaved and trained they all are and that they were all adopted from a shelter, he says. I thought this would be a great way to educate the world. I didn't know it would go worldwide. Many people around the world are now sending me pictures of their newly adopted dog, which is beautiful. Adventure awaits. Lee's cross-country trip officially started February 15, 2018, after a successful Kickstarter campaign raised funds to pursue this life-saving educational adventure. With 853 backers that donated $37,000, Best Bully Stick stepped up and donated $20,000 to the cause and is one of the sponsors. Right now, rescuing is not considered the cool thing to do, but I believe rescuing/adopting is the coolest thing ever, Lee says. He adds that when you rescue a dog, you're literally saving two dogs, the one you adopted and the one you make room for in the shelter. We want to shine a new light, make it sexy fun. We are two guys who are best friends and like to have a good time, like to go out, love people, and we are very passionate about rescuing dogs. At each animal shelter stop, they are greeted by fans. People line up to meet him and his dogs, and his fans even adopt from the shelter that they are at that day. The Asher House helps with adoption fees, and a monthly supply of dog food is provided by My Ollie, another sponsor. The best part of the tour for Lee? The reason I love my dog so much is because of how much fun we have together, he says. They are consistent, constant entertainment, and to be able to have this journey with my dogs to places I haven't been before with them is the most beautiful thing. To be able to see them go from a shelter environment to living this life now, it makes me so happy to see. The adventure continues. The Asher House is becoming a non-profit organization so that Lee can open a sanctuary for all kinds of animals. The nonprofit will fundraise with 100% of the proceeds going toward the sanctuary and to help more dogs get rescued and adopted. Lee's sincere love and appreciation for animals shines through when you talk with him. His enthusiasm is contagious. And if you're not following him yet, you should. He may just inspire you to adopt or go out there and volunteer. Find the event schedule on the website, theasherhouse.com. Hashtag pause for this cause. Dogster asked Lee what people, those who can't quit their jobs and hit the road with their pups, can do in their own communities. Stop talking about rescuing, stop sharing every sad video, and instead go to the shelter, Lee says. If you have time to volunteer and walk a dog, do that. Many dogs in shelters are lucky if they get out of their cages one time a week for a walk. If people really want to make a difference, go to your local animal shelter and see how you can get involved. It's selfish to say it's too sad for me, I don't want to go. Stop being a baby, go to the animal shelter, volunteer, donate, and most of all, adopt. Next, we'll move on to an article titled In Dog Years by Audrey Pavia, specifically talking about senior dog mobility. When I watched my 9-year-old Australian Shepherd mix, Candy, run around the yard with Mookie, my 2-year-old pit bull mixed, I feel relieved. Even though Candy weighs a solid 65 pounds and is considered a senior because of her age, she still keeps up with Mookie. Of course, that won't last forever. Dogs are just like humans when it comes to aging. As they advance in years, their joints get stiffer, their muscles get weaker, and they start to have trouble getting around. And although this change in an older dog's body is inevitable, you can do a lot to keep your senior canine moving well into his golden years. Making sure your dog stays limber for as long as he can starts when he's young. No matter how old your dog is, following some basic rules of good care will keep him younger longer. Diet and exercise. First, and probably most important, keep your dog's weight down. Being overweight puts tremendous stress on your dog's joints and can aggravate any arthritis that may be brewing. Talk to your veterinarian about your dog's weight at his annual veterinary wellness exam. Another must to keep your dog in good physical shape in old age, and if needed, make changes in diet and exercise to take the excess weight off. Next, provide your dog with regular exercise. If your dog is physically fit, he's more likely to stay mobile as he starts to get older. If he's already starting to develop arthritis, easy walks on grass or dirt can do wonders to loosen his joints and ease the pain. If your dog's arthritis is making it difficult for him to exercise, talk to your veterinarian about medication that can make it easier for him to move around. Easing arthritis pain. Consider putting your dog on a dietary joint supplement to help keep him more limber. Omega-3 oil is reputed to reduce inflammation, while supplements containing glucosamine, chondroitin, and MSM are designed to keep joints working. Nutrimax Laboratories, Cosequin.com, makes both an omega-3 oil product and a joint supplement designed specifically for dogs, both under the Cosequin brand. If your older dog is starting to show reluctance when it's time to jump in the car, look into getting a portable ramp. Training him to walk up and down the ramp will make it easier for him to get into your vehicle. PetSafe, PetSafe.com, makes a variety of ramps and stairs designed to enable older dogs to get into cars or up onto beds and furniture. The Deluxe Telescoping Pet Ramp is made specifically to enable large dogs to get into a car and is easy to carry and set up. Another good option for older dogs with arthritis is an orthopedic bed. Made especially for senior joints, orthopedic beds provide support to the body and a more comfortable rest for your dog. When he rises, he'll be less stiff and painful than if he had slept on a bed without the support. and the Company of Dogs at inthecompanyofdogs.com makes a quality 4-inch thick orthopedic bed designed specifically for older dogs. If your senior dog hasn't yet shown signs of reduced mobility, count your blessings, but keep an eye on him too. If you start to notice that he's becoming less active, has difficulty going up and down stairs, and seems stiff or uncomfortable when getting up from the floor, he may be developing arthritis. He may also have trouble standing or sitting and could be less interested in interacting. Schedule an appointment with your veterinarian to discuss options for making him more comfortable. Prescription medications can do a lot to ease the pain of arthritis and help your dog stay active and full of life. Next, we'll move on to Miss Manners by Victoria Stilwell. So rude, dog parent bad behaviors. Most of us who love dogs to be responsible pet owners. Most of us who love dogs strive to be responsible pet parents by making sensible decisions regarding the way we raise and live with them. But we've all encountered those annoying people that give the dog-loving population a bad name. While these folks are hopefully few and far between, they can have a significant impact on the well-being of others. Of course, mistakes, accidents, and unforeseen circumstances happen when you're a canine parent, but if you recognize yourself in any of the below situations, it might be time to change your habits and think about how you and your dog's behavior affects others. No one wants to be a rude pet parent, but at some point we all wear that badge, even if we weren't intending to. Common human bad behaviors. Number one, unwanted greetings. Unfortunately, not everyone likes dogs. Unbelievable, I know, but there are some people that don't want to interact with your gorgeous bundle of fur. So don't allow your dog to charge up to strangers uninvited. I speak from experience. Sadie, my gorgeous chocolate lab, was a social butterfly and loved nothing more than to say hello to everyone. But while we were walking in an off-leash area, Sadie decided it would be a good idea to run toward a picketing family and say hello. Now, I love it when 70 pounds of love come bounding toward me, but they weren't so keen. Fortunately, her recall was solid and the family was very understanding, but the look of pure terror on their faces as my big brown goofy dog came bounding toward them was enough to make me careful the next time I walked in that area. 2. Not cleaning up. Most dog parents would benefit from cleaning up their act a little. But if your dog needs to go, make sure it's not on your neighbor's lawn. And pick it up. People don't appreciate yellow patches on their grass, nor do they appreciate picking up piles of festering feces, so bring poop bags with you on walks and clean up no matter where your dog makes his deposit. 3. Being a know-it-all. Every dog lover thinks he or she is an expert, and while you know your dog better than anyone else, you don't know others. So avoid giving out training or any other advice unless you're a professional or really know what you're talking about. Making comments about someone else's dog like you should have him neutered or you should show her who's boss might not be the best advice, so keep your lips sealed unless it is to recommend a good trainer or favorite veterinarian. 4. Ignoring leash laws. We have all experienced the person who walks his or her dog off-leash, ignoring all the posted signs and leash laws. Don't worry, he's friendly, they say as their dog bounces up to the bundle of nerves you have on the end of your leash. And why, when you tell them nicely to leash their dog because yours is not friendly, do they continue to walk toward you as you're desperately trying to implement an emergency U-turn or cross over to the other side of the street? 5. Not paying attention. Allowing your dog to roam the neighborhood, even when it's the neighborhood dog, is the gold standard of rude pet parenting, as is not watching your dog at the dog park, disciplining or feeding other dogs treats at the dog park without the person's permission, commenting rudely about another dog's behavior, interjecting your training philosophy without being asked, and reading or talking on your cell phone while your rambunctious dog is wrestling with someone else's overwhelmed pooch. 6. Forcing hellos. Forcing your dog to go say hello to everyone he meets is also not fair on your dog or the people he's being forced to greet. Be aware that your dog does not want to say hello to everyone, just as you don't want to interact with every stranger you pass on the street. If you have a nervous and/or reactive dog, don't allow him to stare, stalk, crouch, lunge, and bark at other dogs as they go by. I see lots of younger dogs that will lie down, stalk, and stare at dogs on walks, and this can be a very nerve-wracking and trigger a reaction from even the least reactive of dogs. 7. Contributing to the barking blues. And last, by no means least, please don't let your dog bark for hours in your apartment or in your yard all day and night. The backyard barker is an all-too-familiar sight, but it's a major disturbance, so be aware of your neighbors as well as your dog's emotional needs. At some point, we all may float these common sense pet parent rules, but try as hard as you can to be aware of others. Your dog, family, friends, and neighbors will thank you for it. Now we'll move on to obsessions, what the Dogster team is talking about. Number one is the Museum of Dog. We have 6 painting of dogs in our house. So yes, I would certainly go to a dog museum like this one. Dog lover, entrepreneur, and philanthropist David York has just opened this past spring in North Adams, Massachusetts. I've learned that dogs can cross all barriers and bring people from all walks of life together, David tells Dogster. We've had guests who are crazy about dogs, but not about art. This historic old hardware store is a perfect equalizing environment for everyone to enjoy seeing the collection. When everyone is in the Museum of Dog, they all seem to focus on the dogs they love. David revitalized the 8,000-square-foot building, turning it into a beautiful gallery that's home to hundreds of pieces, which includes late 1700s antique dog collars, artwork by William Wegman, a Kathy Ruttenberg sculpture, a Mary Engel button dog, and an original McGruff costume. Although many items in the museum are from David's personal collection, they are also scheduled special exhibits of artists that have dogs as part of their collection of work. I honestly expected a few people to come in and tell me I've lost my mind, but the response has been incredible, David says. People love seeing it and then sharing it with their friends, families, and dogs. We are busy planning an expansion into a larger experience of entertainment for all dog lovers. The museum is blocks away from downtown North Adams and the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art, MassMoCA, so dog lovers can make a day or weekend of it. I want the museum to serve as a tribute to dogs and keep the focus on the joy they bring to our lives, David says about his hope for the museum. I want it to be a place that makes people happy and they can share it with their dogs. I love seeing smiles on guests' faces when they depart. Discover more at museumofdog.com or follow on Facebook at Museum of Dog. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.